court will proceed to the sixth case, United States versus Laza. Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Your Honor. If it pleases the court, my name is Alex Salerno. I represented Laura Waz at the lower court, now before this honorable body. Counsel will attack or argue the leader or organizer, which I submit to the court applies equally to both defendants. I will argue the amount of loss. I think this case has arguments being bandied back and forth, and the government is now pretty sure about its position concerning the amount of loss being a retail value. However, we operated under the premise that in the pre-sentence investigation report, the government and the agents, quote, with respect to loss, the government and the investigative agents both agree that because of the thefts from multiple retail merchants of goods, which in most instances were not uniquely identifiable, it was, quote, impossible to calculate a precise loss figure that can be attributed to each defendant.
But with respect to the amount of the loss, why isn't it reasonable to use retail value of goods when the goods were stolen from retailers? I think I'm missing something.
Well, yeah, what was submitted by our experts and what we argued in our submissions was that the government simply added wrong and made incalculable amounts and committed errors. Therefore, the retail value, or the amount that is alleged to be of a retail value, was so skewed that we needed to then calculate the amount of gain or the amount of pecuniary loss. What we submitted to the court was that the file submitted by the government as the combined loss listed all sales for usernames during the year 2002 at $465. That was a 120-page list. Then when we cross-referenced it, the sales in the various username Excel files only indicated that the first transaction in 2002 was $465. Even if one substituted the correct prices from the user files for the prices in the combined file, the amount of transactions was only $862,000 and change. Then they calculated Bruce's usernames at $1,000,003, and however, just by adding up the total retail sales, it was $1,650,000 for Bruce Waz, and it included transactions, included sales of cars, used items, jewelry, and clothing that our expert submitted to the court, and we submitted to the court via the expert, were not sold at these various establishments. So based upon the totality of the miscalculations by the government, we argue that the retail value is just not correct, and therefore the retail value would not be the thing that should be used. We further went on to state, though, regardless of whether the government added wrong or added correctly, that the actual loss is defined as the reasonable foreseeable pecuniary harm that results from the offense, and pecuniary harm is defined as harm that is monetary or readily measured as money. And based upon that, the guidelines themselves tell us what loss is, and our calculation of loss was the actual pecuniary or monetary harm that resulted to the establishment. And I'd submit that that's not the retail value. In this case, the actual pecuniary harm was what we calculated based upon the non-included costs of sales. And we weren't arguing inventory, and I'm speaking really quickly here, but we weren't arguing the inventory or the cost of goods. What we were arguing is that if we steal something and there's a 31% cost to sell that item, then the retail value isn't the correct, in this case, the correct amount that should be calculated. The correct amount that should be calculated is the amount of actual loss to the establishment. And we submitted an expert report that outlined what the actual loss was, and the actual loss was, as we submitted, less than $1 million, $701,934.
That's basically the wholesale price.
It's not the wholesale price. It's the it's what the establishment would realize. If they sell something for a dollar and it costs them 30 cents and you steal it, they really only lost 70 cents because they would have spent 31 cents trying to sell that item. So in our instance, in our argument, the cost of what they would have spent to sell the item was the amount that we thought, and we again calculated gain, and I see I'm out of I'm out of time, but I will reserve a little time for rebuttal unless there's any other questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Salerno. Christensen?
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning, Your Honors. Yes, still morning. I'm Joanna Christensen. I represent Bruce Waz in this matter. I'm also arguing the leader-organizer issue on behalf of both defendants. Basically, we have in this case a union of equals, and the leader-organizer enhancement is intended to hold defendants responsible based on their relative responsibility for the offense. If you look at the players in this offense, and there were many players in this offense, they fit into two categories, which is delineated in our briefs, the thieves and the fences. But they had equal responsibility in this offense for the commission and success of the offense. They had different roles, but they were equal in the success of the enterprise. Part of the difficulty in this case...
Who organized the enterprise?
Well, again, I would argue that it's an equal thing. This whole thing started with the thieves stealing from various retail businesses, primarily Home Depot, and it became more and more difficult for them to return the merchandise for cash, and they actively looked for a way for them to make money on their thieving enterprise without having to go back to Home Depot, which was becoming more difficult. And what they found was a pawn shop, and then people who were willing to sell stolen items on the internet, and those were the Wazes. As far as organizing the offense, the offense started with the thieves, essentially, and then the Wazes came in. When it became a more established offense, then everybody had a role. Admittedly, the Wazes requested certain items, but as we put in our brief, the thieves only wanted to steal items that the Wazes could sell. If the Wazes couldn't sell the item they stole, then there was no point in them stealing it because they had found they could not return it.
Well, once the relationships were established, wasn't the whole thing run out of the defendant's pawn shops?
Part of it was. Certainly the fencing operation was run out of their pawn shops, but the thieves made most of the decisions regarding the stealing operations, where they went, what they exactly would steal.
At the direction of the defendants, right?
They asked for certain items, certainly, and it was a back-and-forth relationship. We can get this, we can get that, we can't get that, I need that to sell. It was really an equal thing. If the thieves had not come back with any more stolen merchandise, the Wazes wouldn't have been able to sell any more stolen merchandise. There's no evidence that they did anything illegal aside from what these particular thieves gave them. It was this relationship that was the offense. There was no other illegal relationship. They did have a legitimate pawn shop business and some legitimate sales on eBay.
Will the record tell us, did the thieves stay constant? In other words, were they the same thieves from beginning to end, or were there thieves coming and going and dropping out?
My belief is that the main people who were doing the thieving did stay constant. There are quite a few of them, and they're named in both briefs. But it was these people who were doing most of the thieving. I think occasionally there'd be one or two other people that came in to assist. But what I know from the record is the people who were listed as participants by the government, and that remained stable over time. So I see that I'm in my rebuttal time. Given the short nature of our time, I'll rest on the brief as far as the argument regarding the issues. I think there is a difficulty with the district court's ruling in this case, which is very brief and says that the roles or the offense was otherwise extensive and makes very little rulings regarding the defendants' roles themselves.
Well, if the district court had been more expansive, what? Should the trial judge have found, in your view, or couldn't have found, based on the record as you understand it?
I think that the district court, if the court had looked at everybody's participation in this offense, it was an equal union. It was a union of equals, and they were all working together. In that case, I don't believe that anybody had necessarily a leadership or organizer role over anybody else. I think that it was a very equal partnership between everybody involved, the fences and the thieves on both sides.
So anyone could have aborted the operation?
I think if one person had aborted the operation, part of it would have continued to exist.
Was there a chief thief?
Not that I am aware of. That's not in the record. The government may know better than I would. The record that I'm familiar with does not reveal whether there was a chief thief or not.
Thank you, Ms. Christian.
Thank you.
You'll have some time.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Mr. Hayes.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Brian Hayes. I also represented the government and the district court on this matter. I'm going to keep it pretty brief here because I think it's abundantly clear from the record that there was no error committed at the district court.
Does the evidence tell us that the Wazes recruited the thieving co-defendants as opposed to the other way around? Who recruited who here, or do we know?
If you look at the record from the sentencing hearing, what the government indicated, what we indicated at that time, was that there was a thief by the name of Peter Giannopoulos, one of the co-defendants, knew someone who also knew the Wazes, and at some point an introduction is made between the parties.
Right, that's what I was trying to get at. Was Mr. Giannopoulos the chief thief? I mean,
not if you look at, I don't believe if you look at the amount of theft that each of the defendants admitted to. Mr. Bonacuidi, co-defendant Bonacuidi, and Giannopoulos were both near the top. They were pretty similar to each other. Co-defendant Savino also admitted to stealing, I believe it was in excess of $500,000 worth of goods. Those are the three main thieving defendants if you're looking to sort of rank people.
Is everyone in jail now?
Some of those individuals did not receive jail time. I believe Mr. Lukaszewski was sentenced to probation. Ms. Marks received a fairly short sentence. I believe that she is on supervised release now. I'm not sure about all the rest of them. I know that Giannopoulos, Bonacuidi are definitely still in custody. Mr. Savino had an illness, and the court gave a downward departure that resulted in a sentence of a lengthy period of home confinement rather than incarceration. Certainly the Wazes are still incarcerated as well. In any event, with regards to the loss amount, I think all you have to do is look to the defendant's brief itself, and they make it abundantly clear that you can come up with a reasonable estimate of the loss because their accountant did conclude that the Wazes conducted sales totaling about $2.2 million of stolen goods. In other words, that's what they received. That's not the retail value. So based upon our theory, retail value should be the guidepost, and we went through a fairly lengthy analysis of the evidence to sort of narrow things down to specific categories of goods and came up with a figure. Although we came about it different ways, the government and the defense both came up with figures that put you well above the $1 million threshold, which was all we needed to reach to get that offense level adjustment that the district court imposed. So I think there's no error on the loss calculation. With regard to the leadership enhancement, I think once again, the record is very clear. All of the facts, the important facts, are contained in the plea agreements. It's not a matter of unreasonable inferences made by the judge here. All of the facts come straight out of the plea agreement. It's clear that the Wazes are at the center of this operation and dispatching the thieves, in essence, to go out and fill their pawn shops with goods that they can fence on the Internet. And we introduced a very concrete and specific example of that in the district court by reading into the record a consensual recording in which Mr. Waz sat down with one of the cooperating co-defendants, Mr. Bonacuidi, and gave him a laundry list of items he wanted. Sink rate or garbage disposal, so he had it down to a model number. He wanted 777s, basement watchdog sump pumps, Aquastar water heaters. And so it's clear that by requesting specific items, giving them money to get out on the road, directing them to remove price tags, falsify paperwork, that it's the Wazes really who are calling the shots here. And the district court, who saw the evidence from many sides, there were a number of defendants in this case, and saw it from a lot of angles, concluded that it was the Wazes who were running things and who deserved the leadership enhancement. And so there was no error in that regard. Unless you have questions, thank you very much.
Apparently not. Thank you, Mr. Hayes. Mr. Salerno?
Once again, we believe the standard is de novo for your honors because the court erred in defining the meaning of loss. The government keeps indicating that we agree that the amount of loss was $2.2 million, and in fact, that wasn't our submission. Our submission was that when the government calculated the $2.2 million, there were errors. We then conducted our own calculation as to the amount of gain and as to the amount of loss, quote-unquote, if you don't take into account the retail value.
Is there any legal support for your theory of measuring loss for purposes of this
I believe so. I believe that the guidelines themselves specifically indicate that actual loss is defined as the reasonable pecuniary harm, and harm is money, or readily measured as money. And I compared it before the district court to money laundering cases like this Cheney and Shalaba case that indicated it's gross versus net when you're talking about money laundering, or like the Sapoznik case where costs of doing business were calculated into the findings, and that would...
When we're talking about retail goods, it's always retail value, isn't that right?
That's correct.
Well, so in this context, there isn't legal support for your theory.
No, in this context, there is. What we said was that the retail value was calculated by the government was an incorrect retail value. And we said that because the government agreed in their pleadings and in the PSI that the retail value or the amount of loss was impossible to calculate, therefore the amount of gain would be the most appropriate way to calculate it, or the amount of loss should calculate the amount of reasonable loss there's never been a calculation, a retail calculation that we agreed with. In fact, our expert lays it out, it's in all the pleadings, that 2.2 million is the actual quote-unquote retail figure. We argued that the retail figure cannot be calculated, and the government's calculation was incorrect.
Why could it not be calculated?
Because
aren't there set prices for all the items?
There is, Judge.
At retail, I mean?
There is, and the government's calculation of those retail values was flawed, and when we made a retail calculation, it was
much
different.
And that was flawed? How is that shown? By actual instances of missed numbers or miscalculations?
Yeah, it was a misaddition. What happened was they submitted a file that listed every single item for 2002 at $465, when in fact only the first item was. Then they submitted a user file which made that corrections and totaled the amount of total transactions at $862,446. Then they submitted that Mr. Waz's was $1,003,000 when in fact it was $1,006,000. And then they included sales of cars and jewelry and clothing and all things that weren't sold at the establishment. And we said with the internal inconsistencies, the government's calculation of retail value was just wrong.
Did the things have to be sold at the establishment?
The allegation was that there was no other proof that anything else that was stolen or sold by the Waz's was stolen. So the allegation by the government was the things that came from Home Depot were stolen. There was never an allegation that they stole cars or used items or jewelry, clothing. And our expert listed the items that were not for sale at Home Depot when the government made a calculation of the amount of the quote-unquote retail value of goods from Home Depot.
Were things that were being sold on eBay by the Waz's?
Yes. But there was no allegation, for instance, that a car was stolen. The car that was sold. We pointed to one during the sentencing hearing that was a $16,000 car. Home Depot doesn't sell cars. Yes, but there's no allegation in the indictment or in the plea agreement or in any documents that those items, the jewelry, the cars, etc., were stolen.
There's nothing in the indictment, for instance, that says, and other items of value?
It's not in the government's calculation, and it's based upon eBay sales, and it's based upon items that were stolen from these establishments.
Is it in the indictment?
I couldn't tell you that. I'm sorry. But the allegation by the government, even their own calculation of retail value, included items that were not proven to be stolen, i.e. the car. There's no allegation anywhere that the Waz's were engaged in stealing cars. The allegations were that the thieves would go to Home Depot and these previously established places and do those things and sell. So our expert went out and said, do you have these types of jewelry, these types of cars? And, of course, the answer was no, so there's no allegation. And they were included in the retail value.
Mr. Slerner, is there any possibility that the amount in issue could have been more than the government alleged?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think our calculations came to $701,000 as the loss to the victim, or $745,000 as the gain. And I think it makes sense
for the two, for the mother and son
combined. Yes, yes. And going back to the original question in support of case law, based upon the definitions and the fair market value of items. It's our contention, and it makes sense in light of what 2B1.1B1 says, that the amount of cost of sales is part and parcel of what the quote-unquote loss would be to the victim. It wouldn't make sense any other way. So,
thank you, Mr. Spano. Ms. Christensen.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'll just take a minute or so.
responding to the recruited question.
I shouldn't tell you. I gave you two then.
Oh, okay. I'll take whatever you want me to take. The record shows that as far as recruitment, the thieves were actually the people who were recruiting more individuals into this offense. They recruited individuals to go into Home Depot and return items when they no longer could.
Well, but they're recruiting thieves. They're not recruiting people like the Wazzes.
No, they did not. I think not.
I mean,
in
they're
the strict
not
sense.
Offering their services to other pawn shop owners, or
well, that's not. I don't know. I suppose it's a possibility, but that's not in the record.
Oh, okay.
But as the government said, they didn't recruit the Wazzes, and the Wazzes didn't recruit them. They came together. They were introduced by a mutual friend, and then came to some sort of discussion and decision about this offense and how it would proceed. Just like in the recruitment prong of the sentencing guidelines, the rest of the seven factors weigh equally for both groups of people and their relative responsibility for this offense. And based on that weighing, which we believe the district court should have done, we would like this court to reverse their sentences and remand for resentencing.
What would the difference be in sentence?
It's a four-level enhancement.
Right.
I believe it would... Mr. Waz got a sentence lower than his guideline range, but the four levels would lower it even further than the sentence he got.
You say he got a sentence lower than his guideline range?
He did.
Why?
If I remember correctly, the judge believed that the sentences were disparate, what Mrs. Waz got versus what Mr. Waz got, and she made them, while he still got a longer sentence than she did, closer together.
So, in other words, if we sent this back, could Mr. Waz do worse?
Well, I don't believe that, given the case, the judge would give him a higher sentence if you sent this back, because necessarily in sending it back, my assumption would be that there would be some offense level reduction, either 4 points, 2 points, or 6 points, and that the judge would take that into consideration when sentencing. I think it's possible he would get the same sentence. Mm. After Booker, I think that that's possible in just about every case, that they could get the same sentence. But with such a large downward adjustment of four levels, two levels or six levels, I believe the judge would take that into account and sentence him lower.
Mm. All right. Our thanks to all counsel. Ms. Christensen, I've thanked you in the past for... your office venturing into Wisconsin. Are you regularly now representing people in the Northern District too?
Oh, everybody. We represent them all.
Oh, I understand it. I want to obviously commend your office for
Thank you, Your Honor, for
doing it and doing it so well. But I had not seen you in a Northern District case before.
Yeah.
But
we take them from all districts. I've had cases from every district in the Seventh Circuit.
All right. Well, we thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will stand at recess.